Just look at it all. It's so green. A living, breathing planet.
Final Fantasy has always been the JRPG series that has pushed the idea of what a major title in the genre can be, whether that is in size, scope, or spectacle. It's only been since 2020 that Final Fantasy VII Remake redefined what a remake can be, and not just a genre, but an industry that has now regularized them. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is Square Enix's attempt at recreating the open world magic from the original in a modernized form, while also retelling a significant portion of one of the most iconic video game stories of all time. What Rebirth makes is a grand and memorable adventure that is rich in variety, whether it comes to characters or story, that reminded me why this world and cast of characters were so beloved in the first place, even if it doesn't nail every single aspect that it attempts. What made Rebirth's predecessor Final Fantasy VII Remake so special is that not only was it a remake of the opening hours of the original Final Fantasy VII made into one compact and fulfilling title, but it brought the message of defying destiny and that anything is possible going into this newest entry. While there is excitement to that potential, it is important to remember at the end of the day, this is still Final Fantasy VII, and a lot of story elements are the same, but more so moved around and reworked, not a different narrative from the ground up. Despite that, there are still new aspects that are introduced that are always exciting, and because of that, I wish it strayed off the beaten path a bit more than it does to reaffirm the messaging that Remake initially brought to its players. Even though Rebirth isn't a traditional open world game when we think of the genre, it is split into several massive regions that feel like they could be big enough to fit their own games at times, with each having their own distinct landscapes and ways of travel, so no area feels like a copy and paste of one previously visited. Regions are designed in their own way, requiring the use of different chocobos to overcome obstacles, whether it be climbing up steep walls, flying across a vast canyon, or jetting across open water to get to undiscovered islands, which make for some interesting exploration that succeeds more than it fails. The side activities that can be found around the world of Rebirth, while not completely original, like the use of towers to reveal points of interest, does mostly highlight the best parts of Rebirth's DNA, being combat and storytelling. Some side content is more straightforward, like beating a group of enemies while meeting specific combat requirements, while others feel unique to the Final Fantasy VII world. Finding shrines on the summons known to each area, and scanning crystals to get world intel allows you to learn more about the history of each region, creating a reward that is more than just checking off a box on a laundry list of things to do. Minigames also play a big part in Rebirth, for better and worse. Most of them are genuinely fun to play, but there are just way too many of them. Each region includes several, and that doesn't even include the Gold Saucer, an in-universe amusement park that consists entirely of them. It was well before I rolled credits that I felt fatigued whenever another minigame showed up, even if I enjoyed it, feeling more like a world of minigames at times than adventure. The action turn-based hybrid combat system that Square Enix introduced in Final Fantasy VII Remake may be the best that they have ever made, a virtually flawless concoction that was somehow enhanced with the new synergy system in Rebirth, allowing characters to team up in the midst of battle. After using enough commands, party members can unleash synergy abilities on enemies that bring different effects in tow, like extending the time an enemy is staggered, or gaining a third ATB bar, which allows for abilities to be available quicker than normal. Not only do these new abilities bring an additional level of strategy to combat, but it also encourages character variety to swap around and build up the requirements to utilize these attacks. A big reason that synergy abilities were introduced in Rebirth is due to the new bonding system. When using one of these attacks for the first time, your bond with that party member changes. This bond can also change with side quests that are dedicated to specific party members, as well as choosing the right dialogue choice in specific conversations. Investing in these bonds make for some really great moments near the endgame, but outside of that, there isn't much more to it. While Final Fantasy VII Remake gave us a glimpse on the characters and their respective stories, Rebirth gives them each their opportune times to dig into their traumas and what led them to where and who they are as people at this point in their lives. Whether it be Barrett dealing with the mistakes that he made for his hometown that led them into poverty, or Red 13 undergoing his trial to become a watcher for his people, and the misunderstood history of his family that comes along with that. It is clear, however, that Rebirth puts Cloud and Aerith in the forefront of its story and adds more layers to their characters than what the original delivered that enhance the emotional moments between them. By the time the credits roll, it brings their arcs to a climax that throws a lot of revelations at once that will surely cause fans to create conspiracy theories discussing what it all means by the final entry of this trilogy for years to come. However, focusing so much on Cloud and Aerith and their relationship with each other sacrifices growth with other significant characters in the back half of the story, making them feel pushed by the wayside. Ultimately, Rebirth's reception could change over time as it serves as the second part of a three-part story, and its ending will bring tension, confusion, and discourse that may or may not be alleviated when the final entry releases in the coming years. Taking Rebirth as it is now, I had an incredible time with this lengthy 100-hour experience, with even more to finish. There are some narrative choices that I disagreed with, and the ending revealed a lot with not enough explanation, but it is hard to say what is missing with its phenomenal combat, great character work, and a fantastical climax, whether you walk away liking the outcome or not.